Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, as is stated in Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And today, we are going to look at the fruit of love. Probably you all remember when the Beatles came on the scene back in the 60s, right? How many of you remember that Ed Sullivan show? I remember I was in junior high at the time, and we all thought that was the most exciting thing to happen since ice cream. I mean, we were, you know, the Beatles were great, but our parents freaked out. They all thought, who are these kooks with the long hair from England? And I'll never forget, but that was a big hit in junior high. And one of the songs that I remember very well from the Beatles is the one, All You Need Is Love. Remember that one? All you need is love. Well, we all know that there's more in this life that's needed than love. But love is certainly a big part of it. But yet, in God's economy, the love of God, as shown through Jesus Christ, through faith and the presence of our Holy Spirit in our lives, is indeed everything, because that is a different kind of love. It's the love that the word is used in the New Testament. It's called agape. It's agape love. It's the love which means the unconditional, unselfish, regenerative work of God through the Holy Spirit. That is love. Now, when I talked about the fruit of the Spirit, that word fruit that is used in your New Testament is in the singular, in the original language. It's not the plural, which this means that all these fruits, or this fruit, is everything that it should be possessed by the Christian, that we as Christian believers ought to be maturing in all this fruit, and especially in the fruit of love. You know, in our culture and language, we use the word love in many different ways to mean many different things. What comes to your mind when you hear the word love? Is it love for your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your parents? Is it love for your friends and your colleagues? Is it love for your pet? And pets come right after family. You know that, right? Pets come right after family. Or is it love for a car, a boat, or any other object? We use the word love in many different ways. Here are some quotes from some children about love. Rebecca, age 8. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Jessica, age 8. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. And then Nika, age 6. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. Think about what she said. Start loving a person you hate. Can we really love someone we dislike or even hate? But yet that's exactly what the Lord asked us this morning to do. That word love in our scripture is agape love, agape. The unconditional sacrificial love that God has for us. That God loved us so much more than we can imagine, that he came in Jesus to bear our sins so that we would not bear them now or after we die. It's done. It's finished through faith. Agape love is the unconditional, sacrificial love of God for us, even when we didn't deserve it. But it is also the word for committed love of those that are closest or not so close to us. It's the love which is willing to go above and beyond ourselves. It's a love which is stated, I think, very well in the traditional marriage vows. State what love is really about. Think of it, to have and to hold. God has grabbed us in his love, and he won't let us go. From this day forward, the moment we accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he is ever present with us and has forgiven us for everything. For better or for worse, he loves us as we are because he knows we can be better. For richer, for poorer, whatever stage or position we are in, we are rich because of our faith in Jesus. In sickness and health, he is the God of healing, the God of life, life after death, and his compassion and care knows no bounds. This is the love that God has for us, and that we are to have this sacrificial, selfless, unconditional love for each other, especially for those we really dislike. In fact, the Apostle John, whom God inspired to write this first letter of his, states that love is the evidence that we are truly followers of Jesus, that we in fact know God because we love God and we love others. So what does this mean today for us? How do we bear? How do we love in that way that God loved us? How do we let people really know and see and understand that we love them and we care for them as Jesus loves them and cares for them, as God has loved and is caring for us? Well, it first states that God is love. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Just let that ring in your ears. God is love. God is love in his totality. In him there is no darkness, no sin, no error. He is ever present, ever knowing, and ever loving towards us. His love is such that he came in Jesus in human form to be payment for sin, in order for us to have an Abba, Father relationship with God, that close, personal, intimate relationship with God through Jesus. God paid the price for my sin because love has conquered sin. It's done. The devil's beaten. Our souls then become so thankful for the great sacrifice of Jesus that we are overwhelmed by such love, and that his love consumes us to live in life, to live in love until the day we're called home to him. And then we will experience that perfect love forever. Because of the overwhelming presence of God, we come to love him with such soul-deep gratitude that we say, how awesome is God? How awesome is our God? Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God plants this fruit of love in our souls, our hearts, our mind, our speech, and our bodies. We desire to love him and live for him because he gives life to us through his love. God is love, self-sacrificing, unconditional, and sustained throughout all our days. And the question I have for myself as I was going through this, and for all of us today, do you know deep in your soul the overwhelming, unconditional, accepting as you are, love of God? We live by the fruit of love because God is love. Secondly, we live by the fruit of love because God desires that we mature in the fruit of his love. He knows that we're imperfect people, and he knows we need to grow in faith each and every day. And he plants within us the desire, because we love him, to grow more in love towards him and towards others. As it says in our scripture this morning, 1 John 4:18 and 19, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. God wants us to grow in this love, that we do not fear life and living. The Lord desires that followers of Jesus grow away from fear into faith. A faith that is nurtured by love tempers us in love and causes us to not want to move away from that love. A love that will not let us be consumed with fear and doubt, which could lead us into bitterness towards God and his church and others. But growing out of fear and doubts that we have, I understand, is not easy. And although fear is uncomfortable and disturbing, sometimes we live in it because it has become a defense for us from further hurt. Living in fear and doubt is the devil convincing us that we are justified because of some trauma or something that has happened or other life circumstances that we just can't get out of that. But God desires that we live at peace with him and in love with him and others. And not just at peace, but with joyous and praiseworthy and overcoming love. And this is all because he loved us before we loved him. Before we knew him, he loved us. He saw us. He knows us. He knows we needed him. And he planted that word of faith in our hearts to that point where we made Jesus our life and our love. How do we get there? The story of a farmer who once planted two fruit trees on opposite sides of his property. On one side, he planted a fruit tree to hide an unsightly old landfill. On the other side, he planted a second fruit tree near a cool mountain stream to provide shade as well as fruit. The two trees grew and eventually provided fruit. So one day, he gathered the fruit from the tree beside the landfill. He noticed that the fruit was deformed and the symmetry was not very good, but it still looked edible. Later that evening, when sitting on his porch, he decided to eat some of that fruit. He immediately spit it out of his mouth and cast it aside because it was extremely bitter and not edible. He then walked across his field to the tree planted by the mountain stream and found that fruit to be sweet and delicious. Each of those fruit trees was greatly affected by the nutrition of the soil into which those trees had been planted. What soil have we planted the roots of our soul into? The roots of this life with everything that would try to tear us down, or the roots in God's love, which has ever intended us to build us up in faith and in joy, and especially love? Has the Word of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the presence of Christ in your life been the fertile soil of your heart and your soul and your mind? Psalm 1:1-3, happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither, and all they do, they prosper. God is love, and demonstrated that love in Jesus, and has planted the faith and our love in our hearts that we would grow and produce the fruit of love. We live by the fruit of love because God is love. And God desires that we grow in his love. And thirdly, God commissions us to share his love. 1 John 4:20-21 says this, "Those who say I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." You'll notice when our scripture was read this morning, it started out with these words, "Beloved, let us love one another." And our scripture ends this morning with, "Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." It is evidence of the love of God in our hearts and in our minds and in our speech, in our actions. Because this love is sacrificial and selfless. It's unconditional. It's willing to give. It wants to give because it wants others to know that kind of love from God. John 15:13, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." There have been and there will be times when God calls us to sacrifice our own dreams and desires to enhance the lives or even save the lives of others. Those of you who are parents, understand this as you have sacrificed and continue to do so for the welfare of your children and grandchildren. Spouses sacrifice for one another to provide care and to build that strong bond of marriage and mutual respect and love. Maybe we have given hours of prayer to someone who has strayed away from the family or from the Lord, and we labor in love through prayer that they will return. It may be small or great, but it is exactly what God calls us to do so that those we love will thrive in their life and their faith. Christ sacrificed his love in order that we would live in the glorious presence of his love. Do we not want the same for those we love and those we care for? We sacrifice out of love that others will live life to the fullest. It is the love of God and Jesus which gives to us this desire to sacrifice even when it hurts, knowing that sacrifice through prayer, giving, and risking will bring others to the feet of Jesus. Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There's a story about Sergeant Dennis Weichel, 29, died in Afghanistan as he lifted an Afghan girl who was in the path of a large military vehicle barreling down a road. Weichel, a Rhode Island National Guardsman, was riding along in a convoy in eastern Afghanistan when some children were spotted on the road ahead. The children were picking up shell casings lying on the road. The casings are recycled for money in Afghanistan. Weichel and other soldiers got out of their vehicles to get them out of the way of the heavy trucks in the convoy. The children were moved out of the way, but an Afghan girl darted back onto the road to pick up some more shell casings right in the path of a speeding 16-ton truck. Weichel spotted the girl and quickly moved toward her to get her out of the way. He succeeded, but not before he was run over by the heavily armored truck. The girl was safe, but Weichel died of his injuries. Dennis Weichel was 29 years old and arrived in Afghanistan only a few weeks before. Staff Sergeant Ronald Corbett, who deployed with Weichel to Iraq in 2005, said, "He would have done it for anybody. That was the way he was. He would give you the shirt off his back if you needed it. He was that type of guy." This is the love God calls us to be for others. Being willing to place the needs of others above ourselves, being willing to risk even our own life that others may live, all in the name of God's great love. The bottom line, as the song says, they will know we are Christians by our love. by that love God has planted in our souls, it will be evident that we love God and that we truly love sacrificially and unconditionally towards others. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man or woman, I put away childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Have we this love for God and for others? And is it evident in your behavior, in your heart, in our souls? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this boundless, unconditional, unselfish love of Jesus that you have given to us, and that we in turn, we want to give it to others. We desire to give it to others because we know your love, we feel your love, we've experienced your love, and we want others too to know that, to know how much we love them and care about them, and that we want them to know that love of God also. So thank you, Lord. We praise you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand as we